So we're continuing in 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 25 in a moment when we get to the reading. You've all heard the saying, don't put the cart before the horse. Don't get ahead of yourself. Maybe you've heard that. Sometimes I like to watch Western movies. Wyatt Earp is one of them. This one isn't necessarily a Western movie that most people have considered a Western movie, but Far and Away. In both of those movies, they show the railroads being built out west. And what you see is that the train is moving slowly along the tracks, but as it's moving along the tracks, the men in front of them are laying the track for the train to go on, right? And so if the train was going too fast, it would just skid off the tracks and you know, have a wreck. But what we're going to see in this passage is that God lays the tracks for David to be successful in his fight against the Philistines. And so let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting in verse 17. It says this: "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand.' And David came to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood.' Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal-perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'You shall not go up, go around to their rear, and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines.' And David did as the Lord commanded him, and struck down the Philistines of Geba and Geba to Gezer." And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So I didn't go over David going into Israel. It's a small, not into Jerusalem. It's a small portion of this chapter. But I want to go over. I want to go over that real quick. You know, when David became a king, not just of Judah but all of Israel, he decided that he needed to move his capital, his base, his home, from Hebron all the way up to a central place in Israel, which was Jerusalem. And so when he went to Jerusalem, the Jebusites were there, and they had control of that town. And they actually taunted David, saying, "You know, you can come against us. We are impenetrable. You can come against us, but the lame and the blind would be able to defeat you if you come in." And so, you know, it's kind of like the guy that said, not even God could sink the Titanic, right? And so, you know, I think he was probably bringing torment upon himself by saying that. David sent his men up a water shaft into the city, and they took the city rather easily, right? So it was no trouble for David to take over Jerusalem, and the name of it was the City of David, is what they called it at that point. But I would also say that probably from that time on, that has been the most contested city in history, and it still continues to be that. And so we'll skip down now to our passage. So when David was king over Judah, which was only one tribe of all of Israel, the Philistines left him alone. Is that weird? It seems weird in my mind. You know, here was this guy that lived among them, and now he's the king over Judah. And so I would have thought that they would have gone against him then. But for 7 years as king of Judah, he didn't have a problem with the Philistines. All of his issues were homegrown. It was going up against Abner and Ishbosheth. Right? So, David is left alone by the Philistines. Why? They may still feel like He owes them something. And they may still feel like they could easily take over his area in Judah because, you know, he was for a time one of them or one of their servants. But as soon as he becomes king over all of Israel, all of that changes. In verse 17, it says, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, but David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim." They could not stomach the idea that their vassal, their slave, their servant had become king of their greatest enemy. They couldn't deal with that. And so now that he is king of all of Israel, not just Judah, he is a threat to them, right? They had defeated Saul. They had defeated that king. They thought that their problems were over now that David was their friend. But now David is the king of Israel, and the armies of Israel that they have been fighting for generations. And so we see this fight has been going on over a long period of time. The Philistines had defeated the armies of Israel and carried away the Ark of the Covenant, right? And we see also, too, that Jonathan fought them in 1 Samuel. David fought against them when he defeated Goliath, right? And there were back and forth victories. They finally defeated Saul, you know? So they didn't really see David as a threat until he gained full authority over all of Israel. So this concept in this sermon series, back and forth, about the kingdom of man versus the kingdom of God, we can see that play out in the lives of Saul and of David, right? Saul very much never called on the name of God when he was making decisions. You know, early on, God was on his side, but quickly Saul decided that he didn't need to listen to God. And so, you know, he would go into battle, God would go before him, and he would win, but then he would take the credit. Or he would refuse to do something that God asked him to do. And so that is kind of in opposition to the kingdom of God, which is where God's people glorify him and lift his name up instead of trying to make a name for themselves. You know, when we look at Saul, we see that he doesn't inquire of God, but David is the opposite of that, especially in this situation. In verse 19, the first part of it, it says, "And David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?'" David could have very arrogantly said, "I am God's king. I am the one that God anointed to be the head of his nation, be the head of his people. And I can go and know that God is going with me and go and defeat the Philistines." But that's not how he does it. That's not the way that is prescribed to do it, right? So David goes to God. He has just become king over the entire nation. He hasn't really had much time to gather all his men together to form a strong army. The Philistines a few years ago have just defeated Saul and his armies, so the armies of Israel might be depleted. They just finished a civil war, and the Philistines are coming against them. So if you lack perspective, his situation may have been seen as dire. It could have. But David didn't necessarily believe that. So David asks for God's help. And then God answers him in the second half of verse 19. "And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hands.'" David goes into battle with God's blessing, knowing that God said, "I'm going with you, and I'm going to deliver the Philistines into your hand." How much more confidence does he have knowing that God is going before him? And then in verse 20, we see that David had victory. And David came to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal-perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Do you hear that confidence? The confidence there? The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood. And then he names the place Baal-perazim. Baal is Lord, and then Perazim is breakthrough. Then he's saying that God broke through my enemies here, and that's the name of it. He doesn't say, you know, David Perazim. You know, he doesn't take credit for what happened in this place. He says, God did this for me. And it also says that the Philistines left their idols behind, and David's men were able to carry away those idols. It kind of reminds us of how the Philistines went away with the ark. It's like, okay, there's a parallel there. David's victory there, you know, it takes away the gods of the Philistines. And we know later that they get the ark back and David dances before it as it comes into Jerusalem. But the Philistines didn't give up. You would have thought, okay, God went before David. He defeated us. Let's kind of go back and lick our wounds. But no, they came right back. And it said, in verses 22 through 24, it says, "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'You shall not go up, go around their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines.'" David really could have said here, okay, God, you went with me. I confronted him the first time. I'm going to do the exact same thing. But no, he inquired of God again, and God said, "Let's take another strategy this time." And that's what David does. You know, he says, "Wait for the sound of marching." Right? So God sent this sound that sent the armies of the Philistines into confusion and brought fear in among them. And then David was able to go in and defeat them. So David was faithful to do what God asked him to do. You know, he went around and he came through in a different direction. And God was faithful to do what he said he was going to do today for David. And God went before him into battle. What might have happened if David hadn't waited or done as God asked? The tale of Saul, his story, tells us what might have happened had David not listened to God and just done what he wanted to do. Right? So David might have learned from Saul's mistakes. Have y'all ever done that? You see somebody make a mistake and you say, "Oh, I don't want to do that." And so you do the other thing, right? David's sitting there. He's had the experience of seeing Saul do what Saul wants to do and God reject him and stuff. So he said, "You know, maybe I should listen to God and do what God has asked me to do. And I'll be saved from the grief that Saul had to go through." And because he listened to God, God went before him, and it worked out. You know, we've heard that saying too. If you don't learn from history, what? You're doomed to repeat it. And so, you know, David may have missed repeating history because he learned from Saul's mistakes. In verse 25, it says, "And David did as the Lord commanded, and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer." So he's talking here that the victory here from Geba to Gezer, it's a vast victory. And in comparison to the victory that Jonathan had over the Philistines, this is far greater. This is far greater, and it's noted. And it was so notable what happened here that they repeated this verse, "And David did as the Lord commanded and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer," in 1 Chronicles 14. So they repeated almost that exact wording in 1 Chronicles. But then it followed that verse up with 1 Chronicles 14:17, and it said, "And the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations." So his reputation, because he has done what God told him to do and gone out and allowed God to lead him, his reputation has grown outside the borders of Israel. We know his reputation in Israel was pretty high. David has killed his tens of thousands where Saul has killed his thousands. You know, we'd also seen him defeat the Philistines. So the Philistines know how strong he is. But because God was leading David, we know that God puts the fear of himself in the hearts of the nations because of David's strength and his dependence on God. Could he have done what he did on his own with what he had after just becoming king? No. I have no doubt that the answer to that is no. God delivered David. God was David's savior. God provided salvation for David. God was the only means for salvation for David, and it's the same for us. God is the only means by which we can have salvation. It is through our faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone that we are able to overcome our enemies, which are sin and death and Satan. His Holy Spirit dwells in those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and he enables them to turn away from their sin and turn to him. So, where David had his victory over the visible enemies that came against him, we have victory through Christ over the invisible enemies that come against us. Right? God gives us the power to overcome what the world says is righteous, to do what he says is righteous. So David inquired of God, when do we inquire of God? When do we go to him? And I mess up here. I want to say this. It's like far too often I make a mess, right? I go out, I make a mess, and then I go to God and say, "Hey, can you fix this?" Right? I say, "Wow." That's when I turn to him after I've messed it up. I want to say that in my relationship with him, you know, I've grown in my faith, and I know him better now than I did when I came to faith. But I still like to create messes in my life. And the beauty of grace and mercy is that when I repent, God says that he is faithful to forgive. He's faithful to forgive. And so, what I need to do is I need to learn from the history of my life and say, when I am leaning on him, when I am abiding in him, things in my life go better than when I'm making messes around myself. And he always brings me back to himself when I trust in him. But I far too often put the cart before the horse. I do it. I don't wait until the train tracks are built. I try to get ahead of myself. Do you do the same thing? Do you sometimes get barreling down the track so fast that you can't stop when you get to the end? Do you do things in your time, not waiting for God? God was faithful to save us, and we should learn from that. God is faithful to walk with us, to go before us in everything that this world has to throw at us. David had a confidence when he went into battle, knowing that God was going with him because he heard from God, because he inquired of God. What if we slowed down enough to say, "God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to be? God, where do you want me to go to school? God, what career do you want me in? God, what relationship do you want me in? God, what do you want me to do when my parents tell me to do this or that?" If we slowed down and waited for God, God would reveal in His time and His will what we are to do. If we are patient, if we are open to hearing from Him, God is faithful to speak into our lives. And living in His will, living where He wants us, is far greater than trying to live where we want to live. Because that puts us in places where we're vulnerable to what the world would throw at us. Are we like Saul? Or are we like David? Inquire of God. Inquire. Talk to Him. Pray. Meditate on His Word. Listen for what He has to say. Don't just ask Him for what you want. Far too often, I think, we think that God is a vending machine. Right? If we put a quarter in by saying a prayer, that God's just going to give us what we want. But that's not how God works. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be and spend time with Him, be in His Word, know what His will is, so that when we make decisions, we're making them with the confidence that He is going before us in what we choose to do. Allow Him to guide your steps in every decision you make. Because if you allow Him, He will go before you. He will prepare the way. If you are seeking His will, you can know that He is going to reveal that will to you. You may not like the timing. Do you think David liked the timing of becoming king? You know, his king tried to pin him to the wall with a spear and tried to kill him, right? His best friend died in battle. His king died in battle. He was basically exiled from Israel for 10 years or more. He had to flee to the land of the Philistines. Do you think David liked that timing? No, I'm sure after he was anointed, he was hoping that it would be very soon that he would become king. But no, that's not the way it worked. Do you think David wanted to go to a civil war against the son of the king? No. Do you think David felt like getting up every morning and going out to battle? No. But he did what God asked him to do. And God was faithful. He kept His promise and He put David on the throne in His timing. You may not like God's timing, but God's timing is perfect because it is His timing. So David relied on God, and God was faithful when things got desperate. God was his sanctuary. God was his Savior. And He promises to be the same for us. God promises to be a sanctuary for all those who place their faith in Him. And God also promises to be a Savior. And He proved that in the fact that He sent His only Son to the cross to die for those who would place their faith in Him. Amen. Let's pray. God, we give this day to You. We honor You for all that You have done for us. Lord, without You, none of us would know who You are. We may have heard about You, but we wouldn't know You in the way that we do, as the One that loves us and cherishes us so much that He would not even spare His own Son to make us whole and make us righteous in His sight. God, we love You. Help us, Lord, to rely on You, knowing that You go before us in everything that we do if we wait and we seek Your will. Lord, today we thank You again for this time to gather together as a family. May we be an encouragement to one another as we grow in our faith together to point all of ourselves and those that we come into contact with solely to You for their salvation. God, we pray this in the great name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.